Mount Air. Another Sunday that we celebrate, and you guys know that we Puerto Ricans, we like to celebrate anything.
Amen.
Right? And today is about the fathers, so happy Father's Day to all of you. And remember, I just want to say that this is not just a national celebration, but it should be a time of reflection for each one of us. Should be a time of reflection for the role that we as fathers have, what we have to perform in society. And believe me, it's not a small thing. Anybody? It's not a small thing. So I'd like to speak today on a familiar text that we have read concerning Father Abraham. You know that there's a little song like that, right? There you go. Y'all know that one. Now, Abraham was called by God to leave a place that he had where all his family and all his people were in Ur of Summer. It's not Summer. It's Sumer. I'm sorry. I practiced this and I can't say it this morning. But anyway, it's now in Iraq. You know it as a city in Iraq. And he called them out to be settled in Canaan. Now, Sumer is considered the cradle of civilization. It's one of the places where the first writings, the cuneiform writings, were discovered in history. And in the Bible, it's known as Shinar. Now, there's an important place for history in this place, obviously. But it seems to me that God somehow wanted to regenerate history. Now, that word regeneration, which is the title of our sermon, is associated with mainly a biological process, right? When you regenerate something, what is it, right? It's you're regrowing something, right? It's like a nail, right? You cut them off and they keep coming out. They regenerate. Anybody seen a lizard? Right? Lose a piece of their tail and they regrow. That's usually what's known as regeneration in biology. But it is also a spiritual phenomenon. Not necessarily only a physical one. And in Abram's case, he's going to experience both. In my estimation anyway, he's going to experience both. A biological and also a spiritual regeneration. You see, his experience with God is going to lead him to a land and also give birth to a people. You know the nation of Israel, right?
Right.
The nation of Israel was for hundreds of years and thousands of years a people without a land. They sound like Puerto Ricans. Nobody got that one, huh? Nobody got that one. Come on. You should be up to it now, by now. Yeah, Puerto Ricans are a nation without land. You know that, right? It's called a U.S. territory. It's not our own. Okay, anyway. I'm diverting. I'm sorry. As God calls Abraham to engage in this relationship of growing a people of God, he promises to Abraham three things. That Abraham will have many descendants, right? He'll be the father of great nations. That Abraham and his descendants will inherit the land of Canaan. That's number two. And that they will be a blessing to the whole world. Okay? Now, this promise is made to a person who at that time was in his 60s. Maybe in the 70s. So this promise is made to this man, and this man is scratching his head, right? And he's saying to himself, really? I've had this my wife for all this time and nothing's happened. But then we go to this encounter that we find Abraham in, as the text alludes to. And I think that this is a critical moment in Abraham's life. For 15 years, Abraham has followed God's direction. For 15 years, he's gone where God has called him to go, and also done what God has asked him to do. He goes into Canaan, and because of a famine, he goes to Egypt. And guess what? He is received, and because of Sarai at that time, because of her beauty, she becomes an asset for him. He's compensated with many animals. A lot of livestock is given to him by the Pharaoh. So after that stint in Egypt, he comes back to Canaan and then settles then in what's called Mamre. And we know that area today as Hebron. Right? Anybody familiar with that? Palestine area? Okay. So, I mean, Abraham is doing this. He's following God and he's going through these experiences. And there is, again, in his head, this promise. His wife's beauty could not produce to him what he really was looking forward to. An offspring. And Sarai had obviously a solution, right? Because we, in our lives, we're always looking for solutions. Anybody have problems? Anybody? Right. So what do? When we have a problem? Right? We need to solve it, right? Our natural tendency is to look for a solution. So Sarai had one. He says, go take my slave Hagar and she'll produce a child for you. Problem solved. So Hagar gives birth to Ishmael, who becomes the father of all the Arab people. But he was not the one. Right? Missed that one. So God changes both their names. Now, I don't know if you have noticed this, but if you read in these chapters from chapter 11 on chapter 12 on, you know that Abraham is not Abraham. He's called Abram. Yes. Right? And his name is changed to Abraham after he's gone through all these experiences in life. The same thing with Sarah. Sarah's name was not Sarah, was Sarai. But it's changed. And the reason why those are changed is because God was confirming his covenant with them. 15 years. Anybody has waited 15 years for anything? Anybody? Yeah, right. There are some of you have had a prayer in your life, right? There are some of you who have had something in your lives that you've had to wait for. 15 years. And here comes God and he says, not only did I say that, but I'm going to confirm the fact that I told you that you are going to be the parents of a big generation. Now, he tells them, and this is in chapter 17, that they're going to have a son. By now, they're 90. 90 years old. And there is a covenant sign that is given to them. Right? Anybody know who that is? What that is? circumcision, right? This is the sign. And that day, Abraham and all of his people were circumcised, and that meant that the covenant was sealed, right? There's two parts to that covenant. God's part was already done, and that day it was sealed. And this is all just background. I just wanted you to hear that, because what happens in this stint here, when the text is that we read, is very important. I think that three people show up at the tent, and this scene becomes a little surreal. I want you to follow me on this. Abraham, as many of us, right, is a very hospitalarian guy. And I want you just to pay attention to these details. These guys come, and he bows down to them, and he says, please stay. Please stay here. And they say, okay, we'll hang out. We'll share this time together. Why not? And something happens. I don't know if you heard what we read in the description. But he said, he went to Sarah and says, take three measures of flour, right? Fine flour, the best flour you can find. And prepare. All right, now, three measures. What is that? Three cups? Well, I read the Spanish version. It's a little bit more explicit. It's about 50 pounds. Okay, exactly. All right, now hang with me here. 50 pounds of flour. Okay? There's just three guys. That's number one. Next thing he does is he goes to the herd and gets what? A calf. I don't know, how much does a calf weigh? Anywhere from 40 to 80 pounds, right? If it's small, it's way more than that. Okay, all right. For three people. I don't know, it sounds like my dad. I mean, you think about it. You add all this up. And Abraham is preparing a feast. He's preparing all this food for three guys who just showed up at the door. And he says, he takes some curd and cheese, right? Puts it in front of them. I mean, doesn't it seem like kind of odd? Doesn't it seem a little bit weird? If I was going to take three people, I mean, I would take a leg from the calf, you know, maybe. But a whole one? 50 pounds of flour? I don't know. How you would think about it. But I think that he was maybe a little bit anxious. Maybe Abraham was saying, maybe these people will bring something today. But in my mind, he's a bit too eager with these guys. And he exaggerates a little bit, just a tad, and just like my dad. What does it mean? What does it mean by that? Why is this just laid out for us to read? Is it that Abraham had a sense that these guys who were coming there were some kind of giants, special people? Maybe he saw in them something, that they were like representatives of God? Maybe the Trinity is represented in these three guys, right? You know, we talked about that last week. All I know that is that he puts all these people to work in a snap, as if he was expecting something from these folks who show up. Now the men, they ate, and And then one of them says, I will return to you in due season, and your wife will have a son. And Sarah laughs. And the thing about it is, she asks herself, shall I have pleasure? I don't know what you're thinking when this happens. But it sort of provides for us a picture of where their minds were. We all kind of make fun of Sarah because she laughs, right? Not only that, but we make her the sort of the unbeliever, right? She does not believe the promise, nor that the promise will be coming to fulfillment. She is not that super believer, right? She's not that super faithful person because she laughs. But maybe we forget something. If you go back to chapter 17, you will see that when God is telling Abraham that Sarah is going to give him a son, this is what verse 17 of chapter 17 says. Listen to this. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Did you know that?
Yes.
And said to himself, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now think of it. Father Abraham is always acknowledged as the father of faith, right? Yeah. You know, he's the main guy. He's known through history as the guy who had faith in God. Right? Well, this tells us otherwise. This tells us that Abraham had questions, just like you and me. Abraham wondered about God's word, just like you and me. Right?
Yes.
Right? Not only did Abraham have questions, but he's giggling inside. It's like, this is impossible. This is not going to happen. So basically, I think that Sarah was mimicking Abraham. Sarah is going on with her own trip, right? This is not going to happen. I haven't touched that man for a long time. Incredible, right? Incredible. Will God provide a son for this man? You see, sometimes things don't make sense to us. And it's very similar to when we hear Jesus. You see, we hear Jesus' words saying, I came that you may have life abundant, right? And then when we look at our lives and we see the circumstances and we see the realities around us and we ask and we wonder and we laugh, you call this abundant life? Is this what you mean by abundant life? You see, it's not only Abraham and Sarah. It's us. It's us. I think it's more common for us to laugh at God's promises than what we think. We're always like, you know, man, you know, this must be a fairy tale. You know, that sounds good. In Bible, it says so there, right? And guess what? Not only have we read it, but we've seen that time and time again, he comes through somehow. But it must be a farce. Why don't we look for another solution? Ha ha. Right? Why don't we look for an alternative? Let's see if Hagar is around. Maybe she has the answers. And I tell you, folks, we do this day in and day out. God's promises are plain. He promises us abundant life. He promises us that he will always be with us. Right?
Yes, amen.
What did Jesus say when he left? He says, I will be with you. Always. But sometimes we don't believe him. And sometimes we laugh. This is what we read in chapter 21, verse 1 of Genesis. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. You see, God's ways are not our own. Amen? God's ways go beyond our possibilities. God's purposes are not our own. And I tell you this because God has given us a mission. Each and every single one of us. And God has provided us with everything that we need to accomplish that mission, as impossible as it seems. I'm going to close this. I'm going to ask you something real quick. Do you think it's possible for this church to regenerate itself?
Amen.
Yeah. I tell you this because I know that this is what we're living, right?
Amen.
This is what we're living. We're growing older and we're looking around and we're saying, what? God? What? Where are the children?
Yes.
Right? Where are the young folks? Is this possible? I look at myself and I say, I'm old. Right? When we talk about children and young ones, I'm old. And then there's a 90-year-old that says, you're a young lad. Shut up. Right? I don't know, maybe that's just going through my head. But what this word tells me today is that God's promises are true. And that we can trust them. So what does that mean for us? What do we do Well, Abraham went to Egypt, came back. He had to go through experiences in his life that he didn't think he had to. He was going to. It was scary. And maybe we have to go through those experiences. Right now, you know what's scary? We don't have a secretary, a manager, an office manager. Guess what? That's really scary, right? For this guy. Right? And I was thinking about that the other day, you know. Okay, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Right? This should be simple. We don't have a worship leader that has come here and created a band for us. I've been praying for that for 3.5 years. It's not happening. What's with that? And that's just in our corporate congregational life. That's just a few things. But I imagine that in your life, something is going on. Something is happening that you've been waiting for, and you've been waiting for, and you've been asking God, is this going to happen? Yep, it's time. And this is the only thing I will have to say about that. God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm a product of that. Because as I was growing up, my mom also had that prayer for many years. Lord, you see this guy? I don't know. Right? I still don't, but God is faithful. Will God do something in this congregation? I trust He will. Will God do something in me? I trust He will. Will He do something in my family? I trust He will. That's the only one I can trust. Let's pray. Father, Abba, we come before You. We come before You as sons and daughters, people of the flock, believers that struggle. People that see the reality in our lives and we cannot see beyond them. In order for us to have peace, Lord, we gotta have You. We gotta see Your hand. And it's hard for us to wait. I pray, Lord, in this day, in this moment, that not only for fathers, but for mothers and daughters and sons and all of us, Lord, we may be able to trust You. That You give us that power, that Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, for us to rest in You, but also take the steps we need to follow You day by day, trusting You in everything in our lives. We pray these things, Lord, knowing that You are the only one that can hear, but that has the plan laid out for our lives. Help us to see it. In Jesus we pray. Amen.